You are listening to a sermon by Rosie Pereira, recorded on Sunday, December 2nd, 2018, at the Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
I was very paying attention to the words of a couple of these hymns, was very glad to see that they were talking about the coming one to heal our illness and our infirmities and the doom and gloom. And I must say that that is how I've been feeling a lot this week. I have not been well in mind and spirit, and it is something I struggle with from time to time. And it makes it very hard for me when I have something that I have to prepare. And I confess to you that I didn't finish a sermon today, for today. And this has happened once before, the very first time I preached here. And I had this blurt out that, sorry, I don't have a sermon, but I'll tell you a little bit about what my thoughts were. And people were very understanding. And then the discussion time afterwards became the sermon. And since then, I've done okay. I've managed to pull something together, and I've also remembered that I did that once, and there's no way I can pull that again. But today, unfortunately, I don't have a finished sermon. I have some scattered thoughts, but my brain is... I struggle with anxiety and depression, and with scattered, disjointed thoughts. Maybe I have some form of ADHD or various other things. I've tried to self-diagnose and have never really gone, you know, anyway... I'm going to pull out a few of the ideas that I had come up with and lay them out there as disjointed as they are and hope that something grips some of you and that it comes from my heart and that God is somehow in this. But it's a very raw thing. It's not finished and it's disjointed and no completion and no... Basically, I have four documents. I have an outline. I have an introduction that I didn't get into working out, fleshing out the outline, and then I have all the scripture that I was going to use and how I was going to refer to it and describe, you know, and it never came together. So I'm embarrassed, but I'm going to go for it. Go ahead. How many of you get impatient when you're waiting for something? I do. I was trying to launch my Bible software the other day as I was working on this sermon, and it took 10 or 15 seconds longer than it usually does. And I was frustrated. And I was saying, come on, what's taking so long? We live in an age of instant everything. We've lost the discipline of delayed gratification. You want to know something? Google it right now. You need a book? Click on it on Amazon and download the Kindle version immediately. I couldn't find a digital edition of Henry Nouwen's little book, The Path of Waiting, which I forgot to bring with me. It's this lovely little book that I wanted to use for this sermon, and I couldn't wait. So I drove to the Regent Library a few minutes before closing one night, 9 o'clock, and took it out. I'm lucky I live only 5 minutes away. But those are trivial forms of waiting. The deeper waiting we all experience is waiting to be made whole, whether that be waiting our turn for medical care, or waiting for God to fulfill our longings or heal our anxious thoughts. We struggle to wait patiently, yet we have to wait. Waiting is part of the human condition. Henry Nouwen observes that waiting is a dry desert between where we are and where we want to be. Abraham and Sarah had to wait until they were over 90, until their promised heir, Isaac, was born. The Israelites had to wait 40 years to enter the promised land. Some people in Jesus' time had to wait years to be healed. The Psalms are full of the longing cries of those who were waiting for the Lord's justice and their expressions of faith as they encouraged themselves in their waiting. We read one example in Psalm 25 today, and I'll draw out from verses 2, 3, and 5. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. You are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. There are many more examples from the Psalms, and I won't read the ones I had pulled out just for time. Advent is the season when we try to temper our need for immediate gratification and learn to wait patiently, expectantly. It's significant and ironic that Advent happens concurrently with the shopping season leading up to Christmas. While as Christians we do participate in purchasing gifts for each other, we hope by practicing the disciplines of waiting and Advent that we're not taken over by the frenzy of commercialism. How many of you have done Advent calendars in your families, either growing up or with children of your own? My mother used to buy one for us every year when we were kids, and it was those paper kind with the little doors, nothing, no little gift behind it, but just a picture. And we would wait to open the door to see the thing revealed behind the door, which was maybe a picture of a candle or a camel or something associated with the story of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. It's amazing that we were satisfied looking forward to pictures. We didn't know about the kind of Advent calendars with chocolates in them. I'd like to read a short piece of background on what is Advent. I'm assuming most people in this congregation know the history of Advent, but for some that don't come from a tradition of celebrating it, this I found quite helpful from a Facebook post by an organization or a person, a singer maybe, called Liturgical Folk. Advent is the first season in the church year. It begins on the Sunday 4 weeks prior to Christmas and ends on Christmas Eve. It is the season in which followers of Jesus begin again our annual journey with Jesus from his birth to his coming again. During Advent, we enter into the story of Israel, identifying with the children of Israel held captive in their own land, longing for a Messiah to come and rescue them. It is also a season for us to ready ourselves and wait with eager expectation for the second coming of Christ. Like Lent, Advent is a fresh start for Christians. It is an opportunity for us to purge ourselves of our false messiahs and to turn our hearts back towards the one true Messiah, Jesus Christ. We live in a world of false gods and powerful kings that vie for our allegiance and often succeed at capturing our hearts. Just look at the frenetic and materialistic way our culture celebrates Christmas. If we allow ourselves to simply go with the flow, we'll be swept into the currents of idolatry and self-worship. We need seasons like Advent in order to renounce and reorder our rhythms into Christ. Advent is also a time for us to prepare for the arrival of Christ. The word Advent means the arrival. Jesus came to us once as a baby in Bethlehem, as these lovely pictures portray. He will come to us again in the end. And I don't know what that means, and we've discussed in this congregation how we believe about his coming in the end and what the end is. But he comes to us now by his Spirit as we seek his presence daily and call upon his name. It is this past, future, and present Advent for which we prepare this season. So we put ourselves in the countercultural posture of silence and waiting. We refrain from the instantaneous gratification of getting whatever we want when we want. And we allow ourselves to feel our need for a Savior. The season of Advent can lead us in this way, and if we choose to follow, our celebration of Christmas will be more joyful and meaningful than ever. Regent College's president, Jeff Greenman, was recently reflecting on a statement by French philosopher Simone Weil. She writes, "Waiting patiently in expectation is the foundation of the spiritual life." Jeff comments, Weil reminds us that in spiritual terms, patience is not passive, but active. It is more than just enduring the passage of time. Patience involves looking attentively in the right direction, scanning the horizon for a glimpse of God's action. This kind of patient attentiveness is a sort of spiritual discipline, and it requires a humility of heart that risks radical trust in God. That connects to my earlier thought, which was going to be the introduction of the sermon, which is a story about my dog. Now, I had a dog who died 10 years ago. I had her for 17 years, Labrador Retriever, and I used to take her to the beach down at Spanish Banks, and she would love to go jumping in the water to fetch a stick or a ball. But her practice of waiting for me to throw the ball was not to look at me and kind of pester me, like, go ahead and throw the ball, like most dogs will. She would look out over the water where she thought the stick or ball was going to fall and be attentive to where it was going to fall and trust that I was going to throw it. And I could sometimes wait a minute or more, and she would still keep waiting, looking out towards the water. And that taught me everything I need to know about trusting God while waiting. It's an active trusting, but it's an active waiting, but it includes trusting that he will come through even when he delays. And many of our scriptures today have helped support that. We all wait. In particular, in our Jeremiah reading, we are reminded that the people of Israel awaited the Messiah, the promised one of God, to come and bring justice and righteousness. And our Luke passage talks about the call for us as New Testament people to be waiting for a future day of redemption. When I look to understand a passage of Scripture, I ask questions about it, and I probe for answers. The main question I had about this text, the Jeremiah text, which is the one I'm going to focus on most, was, what days are meant by the days are surely coming, and in those days? It's an unspecified but generally hoped-for future. Sometimes that phrase refers to the so-called last days or end times when God will make all things right, but sometimes God's promises have multiple progressive fulfillments. So in this case, the talk about the righteous branch to spring up for David, we believe that to be a reference to Jesus Christ, who was from the line of David. And the Israelites were looking for a promised Messiah who would be a Davidic king. That time has come already, and so in some ways this promise has been fulfilled. And yet it talks about in those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. That doesn't happen now. Jerusalem is not in safety. The world is not in safety. The spiritual Israel is still waiting for the time when the Lord is our righteousness will be completely fulfilled. So that's all I managed to have to say about that. And I had some things about who waits from the outline. We wait, which is clear, but also the creation waits. The entire creation waits in with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. And also God waits, which Laura mentioned to us earlier. God waits. In Isaiah 30:18, it says, "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you. He will rise up to show mercy to you, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him." So he waits for us, and we mutually wait for him. Sometimes we struggle with, why are we still waiting? How long do we have to wait? And I don't have an answer for that, but it just is interesting that there's this mutual waiting. I'm afraid I don't have an ending. I'm afraid it's just those scattered thoughts, and it's short because we had a lot of extra material in the service today, so hopefully that's enough, and hopefully there's something we can talk about from that during the discussion time. And my apologies, but I ask for your prayer because I do struggle with this. Thank you.